Thank you. Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here. I want to thank the Fierce Institute for organizing this event. I want to thank in particular Barbara for inviting me here at the very beginning. I used to be very close to Toronto. I was working at McMaster. The car was a very good friend of mine. He was so supportive during my year at McMaster. Again, Carl, I really appreciate your friendship. So today I'm going to talk about something to do with the geometric nonlinear PDE. So the title of geometric and the PDE, they are something mixed together. Geometric nonlinear PDE more or less say that we're looking on problems arising from geometry and using PDE to solve it. On the other hand, and the problem in geometry puts some of new challenges in the PDE theory. So that's somehow everything is mixed together. Let me start it in a very simple example. Let's look at some simple example we go through, see how the theory of PDE and differential geometry can get together. Well, suppose now we have a domain in R2. We have an embedded curve, see, and M is embedded curve, and the domain is called omega. Okay, then of course the classical isoperimetric inequality see that the parameter or the length of the curve of M of square is larger than equal to the area of omega. And because this achieved if and only if was a constant, if and only if that is a disk, round disk. So if we put disk around disk, that's pi, that's 2 pi, so that's you divide by and 2. Right, so that's I will come back to the 4 pi, because that's 2 pi, that's 4 pi. Thank you. I always got this number mixed up. So now let's try to get some flavor in. So that's, there are so many different proofs of this classical inequality. So today I want to use a PDE proof, and a very simple PDE proof to see of this inequality. And then we want to develop something about so-called free nonlinear PDE to deal with high dimension case and other geometric quantities. So of course this, we are looking at a one-dimensional curve. So geometry more or less studies the curvature. In one dimension, it's only one kind of notion of curvature. That curvature. So suppose the curvature, we call that at point, the curvature is K. Okay, now we want to more or less say that, so the equality holds if and only if omega is a ball, is a disk. So in other words, then of course, if this it is not disk, this we have strict inequality. So more or less, what the idea is then of course, suppose now you have omega, then we try to evolve. Okay, so let's we try to do something that omega we want to through a certain kind of parameter t evolve omega to a disk. So that will be say omega of. So let's start from omega 0, let's say, so omega of, let's say, infinity. And during the process of evolve, so it's kind of evolution process, you want to hope then, of course, this quantity, the isoperimetric, I call that omega t, so then the boundary of omega t will be equal to m of t. then you want to look of this. You want to design an evolution process such that this is decreasing. Then equality will be proved, because at the end is zero, because you have the disk. So then it's decreasing to zero, then that will be, must be larger than equal to zero. Okay? Of course, in wind dimension, as we mentioned, then this orange wind notion of curvature, the geodesic curvature of the curve. So now let's try to evolve that. So, so-called curve shattering. So now let's say that we have a position fixed on the origin position that at a point that's t, then try to evolve of the position vector. And according to mu is the, oh, so let me put this, the position. So the mu is the orthonormal of the curve. Try to evolve of this. So you see then curve is positive, of course it's going inward. Curve negative push outward. I eventually hope that things will and smooth out the balance, and then so there is a remarkable result about this very simple one dimensional PDE, because that's one dimensional, then you have t variables, so it becomes PDE. And that's nonlinear because the curvature is a nonlinear way involve the position function. Okay, so the first result that goes back to Gage and Hamilton. Suppose now if you start omega zero is convex, then this geometric flow is this and will and eventually extinct because shrink to around the shrink to a point, shrinking to a round point. What does that mean then? If you normalize the area, then it's a ball, or it's a disk. Okay? So omega t shrinking to a round point. And it was it's a remarkable result by Grayson later than, and this can be job. As long as curve is embedded, then it will evolve and go to the round, evolve to the round point. It's embedded, then of course it will be simple. Yeah, simple
connection. It's not
simply connected,
then.
It's embedded, yes.
You can just join them and
just join them, and just simple. You just look at the, on the you know, outer boundary. Okay. In that case, so then that will be, this can be dropped. So now what can we say about this simple PDE? Well, this simple PDE, let's call this is the anthropometric, and that's it.
In this equation, what is kappa? Is it additional
kappa? Kappa is the geometric disk. Yeah. Kappa depends on t, and everything depends on t. Everything depends on t. At time t, then you take a differentiation of the position vector, and you get out of this. So, and of course, okay. So now if you look at that and then try to see what is of this quantity behavior, turns out it's a very nice way. So you differentiate the formulas. Once you have that, you can write down formulas. So the formula for, recall then, of course, this m of t, that's just again the mu of t of m. Curve.
Oh,
we assume everything smooth. I will come back later, just single. Okay. And of course, and the area of M of T, that you can think about this, can be defined to be of, so now you have a point, and then you have position function, that's X, and you have mu, I call u x equal to mu dot of x. Okay, so some, if it's convex, so called support function. But in general, you have this. Then divergence theorem tells you then that's equal to u to mu g on the boundary. And when you solve this equation there, then you can write down evolution equation for all those quantities. So now, then you can differentiate that in t variable. You can write down that that should be minus of k g. And you can differentiate this guy k squared. That's equal to of k d mu of g. Everything is integral of m. You can write on that, calculate. So you can calculate what is evolution equation mu for mu and what the evolution equation for the curvature and so on. You can calculate everything. And then you put into there, you can have this sign. So now come into a very interesting part, a very simple interesting part, and that will be the basic of this one. So we want to find out what we want to prove this is decreasing. So you want to have a derivative of this is going to less than equal to zero. Okay. So let's differentiate then. Well, now we have Gauss-Bonnet because that's the curvature integral. Gauss-Bonnet tells you that's equal to that's a topological invariant. And now we also have something called Cauchy-Watt. So k squared, that should be less than or equal to 1 of and that is less and this we know that's 4 pi of square because it comes from Gauss-Bonnet. So therefore you have estimate of k d squared d mu g of m will be larger than or equal to, you move this over, of L of 4 pi of square. Okay, let's put this back to here. So this is larger than to there, therefore this will be less because minus sign, 2 cancelled, we have 2 pi.
You just forgot the conditions,
4 pi. Oh, yeah, otherwise we'll be in trouble. That's 2 pi or 4 pi. That's 4 pi. That's 4 pi. Let me see. Yeah, that's 4 pi. So that's 2 pi squared, 4 pi is this. So this guy is larger than equal to this guy. You put on here, it will cancel, and then you have 4 pi. 4 pi, that will be 8 pi. And this is 2 pi, so that's 4 pi, 8 pi. That's become plus because of minus sign. But that's a proof of isoperimetric encoding. Well, in the geometry, also in the mathematical physics, there are something related to the high dimensional case. So let's look at what. Okay, then, because you can see that, because here we use Cauchy-Watt. Therefore, unless it's constant, you cannot have Cauchy Watts. So if constant, it's a round circle. Okay, so thank you for the remark. So here, because otherwise you have strict inequality, so equality holds here that kappa is constant. So must be constant curvature given you the circle. So if circle is not circle, you will continue. But of course, you will ask, there are many other simple proofs. Why we go through all of this? And this result, Gitch, Hamilton, and Grayson are not trivial. They involve PDE and dependence of PDE. Well, other thing now, because you see, I'm going to introduce something else, which similar kinds of called isomorphic. Half inequalities. So this inequality actually is coming, there are few motivations. One kind of motivation coming from geometry, other motivation from mathematical physics, related to the Hawking mass and the Penrose inequality and so on. I'm not going to get this. But anyway, and the geometric quantity is very simple to describe. So now, let's assume this omega is in a high dimensional domain. Let's assume first convex. So the whole point, I want to remove convex later. Okay. So now you have a domain, convex domain. It's omega sitting in an ending space of Rn plus 1. Okay. So now you now project this omega to, so that's in Rn plus 1. You project down this to R, the lower dimension of Rk. For any k fixed, you project to Rk. Well, you think about Rk as a point in the Grassmannian manifold. And you average, because you have different plane in of Rn plus 1. You project down this to there, so you project down to P of omega to Rk. Then Rk, there are too many different RKs, then the choice of RK is think about pick from a Grassmannian. The K's plane, half plane in Rn plus 1, think about as a point in the Grassmannian. Therefore, then you take a volume of this guy in RK volume, and you take integral over the Grassmannian, all those choices of half plane K. And this usually called K's volume of omega. And this German name are called Queimath integral, K's. And in English name is called K's cross-sectional integral. Okay. So, of course, you see K equal to n plus 1 is the volume. There's only one of n plus 1 because K equal to n, is a dimensional constant multiple of the surface area, and so on. So you have a sequence of those geometric quantities. And if it was remarkable, then by Alessandro and also Fancher, see that there is a relationship between those quantities and this kind of isomorphic relationship. The relationship is the following. So you take of K of omega, again, more or less you take, and this is less than equal to some constant dependent N, dependent K, and dependent on L of V of L of omega, one of L. As long as L is less than equal to K, less than equal to 1, less than equal to plus 1. So in other words then, so the classical isomorphic inequality here is that and K equal to N plus 1, N, L equal to N. That means then the volume is controlled by the area, the surface area. Okay, that's volume and controlled by surface area. So if L equal to and N, K equal to N plus 1, that's the classical isomorphic inequality. in states that way. And this is constant, depends on dimensional constant. And also, good thing about equality holds if and only if this is the ball, around the ball. Yeah, k-dimensional volume. Yeah. You project onto the RK. Now that's the domain in...
Project or
intersect? Intersect. Usually we do project. You project on.
Project
on to RK, then it is also, because convex, you get a domain in RK. And you find out the volume of, in k-dimensional volume, and you take average. So that's sometimes called the Clausius formula. And the proof of Alexander Fentschel's inequality is also they are interesting. There are three proofs. The first proof by Alexander used so-called combinatoric convex body analysis. Approximate omega by convex polygons. And you do the polygons and you take a limit. And the second proof also by Alexander use PDE methods, elliptic PDE methods. And third proof is algebraic geometric proof. There is a relationship between in algebraic geometry. So. But all those proofs rely on the convexity. The convex body is very somehow is the most simple and kind of geometry we can have. And there is a need to remove this convexity, in particular in proof of panel's conjecture for the Hawking and so on. But I'm going to, okay. So now my interest is that how to remove the convexity. Because you see that a supermatching inequality is no assumption for the convex. So why would you need convex? Okay. So now, again, we want to use similar methods of these kind of things. So that's, then going back to 97, the Turing proposed a way how to prove of this and the notion of how to prove of this kind of inequality. So let me, before we do that, now there's another way to introduce, to express so-called this notion of VK in term of integral of a curvature integral. So this time I'm going to put in a different way. For any m less than equal to 0, just think about this as k. Okay. But so that's equal to some constant, dimension constant, integral of the boundary of m. Then you have this sigma k minus 1 of kappa d. So here sigma L is the L's elementary symmetric function. And this kappa is the principal curvature vector. Kappa is the principal curvature vector, kappa 1 of kappa n, here kappa 1 are the principal curvatures of the boundary of omega n. So this, the way it's called, again, this formula is called the Cauchy-Crompton formula. You can relate this formula. Now we have curvature getting here. Before there, we don't have anything about curvature. So that's why we have curvature. So now, of course, you want to make this quantity non-negative. If you adjust convex assumption, you have this quantity non-negative. Otherwise, no geometric meaning. So this assumption here, then you want to assume of this inside is larger than equal to zero integrand. And that's the basic assumption, the geometry of the domain coming in. Okay? And that usually is sometimes called K convex. So K equal to 1, that means mean convex. Sigma 1 of kappa, that's the mean curvature. And sigma 2 kappa is the scalar curvature. And sigma n of kappa, that's the Gauss curvature. Okay, suppose now we want to set our task to prove this inequality. And we want to repeat something we did for the one-dimensional isoperimetric inequality. Okay. So now here is something related to so-called the geometric flow. Well, you have freedom. So the goal then you want to create a geometric nonlinear PDE, evolve of the domain omega and to the target to the ball, design of this way such that certain kind of an isoperimetric ratio is monotonic and get to the constant at the end, then you can prove that. Okay, so that's the whole thing. Well, in one dimension, we don't have any choice because it's only one notion of curvature. Here, in high dimension, there are so many different notions of curvatures. Okay, the problem how to choose that. Okay, now, suppose now we are looking at the compare, suppose we want to compare this. So, suppose we want to compare V in plus 1 minus M of omega with V N minus N of omega. Suppose we want to compare those two. Okay? Suppose we want to compare those two. Well, now let's also compare on this because we know what's optimal fig should be is the ball. Suppose, let's look at the ball. Okay? Now, suppose again also look at this n plus 1 into minus n of the ball. Because now we want to put the linearity, homogeneity on together. And then you want to pull out this, depend on n and depend on m. So then you want to pull equality holds if one or if omega is a ball. That may be different ball ratio. Okay. Well, now let's go back to look what's inside of this. Here involved curvature integral. So now if you put and n plus 1 become n, then become k. So now what is the design of the curvature rule? Well, we want to have this. This is a little different what we did before. This time, we want to do expanding instead of shrinking. Okay? We want to design flow of such a way that this looks a little natural. The reason because integral inside involves of the dimensional function. So that's integral of sigma k integral involved here, See, my team, mine's one involved up here. Okay, so we want to design this for. Well, somehow this may not necessarily very good for us. We want to make adjustment. So adjustment to make an RT pick so that and this omega so that V n plus 1 V n minus k of omega, this depends on T, which is constant, won't change. You can make of this adjustment. Then it is amazing to see that, of course, we didn't realize until very later. We went through some kind of detour, so many things. It turns out this direct involvement, you can prove then, of course, this automatic. Let's put up this one here. I call this a new isoperimetric ratio. This isoperimetric ratio itself, which is, let me see, is monotonic. So that is because I divide this to this here, so that is increasing. As T go to infinity. Well, that's, but now so far we have not said anything about this differential equation. So turning out this differential equation, of course, is highly nonlinear. And sometimes in the notion now called so-called Fourier nonlinear, because it involved hashing. And the information in a way such that it's, say, like a Mongeon-Petov equation. Okay? So it's a nonlinear way involved hashing. Well, now, let's now, so, what is proved that turns out, this was discussed last year, but turns out that for this equation, go back to the unnormalized equation. This is 1993 or so, what was proved by Gerhardt. And also by same time by Obers, they prove that this flow is this all time, is expanding, and it's expanding to around the ball, if you normalize the volume there. But there is a catch. Catch then, if you start omega, is star shift. Condition, then you have all those things, wonderful things can happen. You can see very similar thing as what we did for the curvature shattering, so quantum variable. Therefore, the isoperimetric quantity type can be proved by all these PDE results. So now let's take a passage to PDE. Well, how can you prove something of this existing and so on? Well, the crucial part in the PDE theory is so-called the regular theory. You do as an estimate. You want to show then, of course, at any time t, everything stays. And nice enough, and you can continue all the time. So that's kind of estimate you need. So what kind of estimate do we need? Well, we do need certain kind of estimate up to so-called C2 alpha estimate. Before we do that, I just want to say a few words about history about development of so-called fully nonlinear PDE. Well, linear PDE more or less, in some sense, like, say, you study Laplace equation, so that's mini-elliptic PDE. Well, then, the development of nonlinear PDE in elliptic and the parabolic type, it went through some painful process. It's a long process. And there are two landmark developments I want to mention. The first landmark development is so-called quasi-linear. That was in 1950s. developer of the George and Banesh. What I mean quadrilinear then, of course, is following here. You have operator and U, you have the following of A of IJ, dependent X, but also dependent U, and U of IJ, and then plus low order term. And assuming here AIJ XU, which is quantitative definite, this makes things elliptic. The key ingredient for the theory, so-called DeGeorge and Nash, so-called, is called Harnack. And estimate. What do you mean Harnack estimate? If we go back to so-called harmonic function, we see that a positive harmonic function in the, say, in the domain, then the maximum and minimum of the value of this function are comparable in a subdomain. Then you compare the subdomain. That's Harnack. Okay, so record. So suppose now in the domain omega in R2, U harmonic, U is larger than equal to zero. Then for any omega delta which is compact inside of this here, then the maximum of U in omega delta can be bounded by C, depending only on the distance and the minimum of U of omega delta. And this is very, very strong. And that's very, very important. DeGeorge and Nash was able to establish such kind of estimate for general quadrilinear equation. And with that, then you can develop a whole singularity. That's a quadrilinear. So for the fully nonlinear, that's have to, that is 1950s. Fully nonlinear have to wait about 30 years. That's the late 70s and early 80s. That's by Safanov, Krylov. Then what they did is that this is so-called diversion. They did that suppose now AIJ itself could be anything measurable, just as long as bounded. Okay, of alpha I less than beta of I, you have two elliptic things. This more or less is elliptic. No smooth assumption on AIJ, just L infinity, measurable. Then suppose you satisfy of AIJ, here the difference here, you don't, the differential G is on U, so no diverging form of this, then you have Harnack. That's a landmark development. So if U is no negative, satisfy of this equal to zero. And then you have Harnack. With Harnack, you get the so-called Hode estimate. Hode estimate differential equation once you get so-called C1 alpha. You differential equation twice, you get C2 alpha. Therefore, this gives you so-called Evans-Krylov theory. So you have all the regularity and so on. So now let's go back to this operator. This operator, of course, involves the matching functions. Well, this operator, again, how to fit this operator in this so-called theory of fully nonlinear differential equation is that this operator is elliptic. This goes back to Lars Garbin's the theory, so-called hyperbolic polynomial theory, polynomial theory, and more or less tell you the following here. So this sigma of lambda k, you put all those lambda in of Rn of this set of the gamma k intersection with the component. So for any k larger than equal to 1, you take up sigma k. So that's component intersection with A. Maybe I should write on that way. Sigma k, gamma k equal to the connect component of this containing and all those lambda larger than 0. Okay, lambda and 0. So containing the positive part. That is the connector. There are several if k equal to n is only one, there are several components if k in general. Then you just take one of these components containing say 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. Okay, containing of that point. Containing to the point 1, 1, 1. Good thing about then this property here, sigma k itself is monotonic. For all B and this function is concave. And the same thing can be said from sigma k of sigma k minus 1. And that makes this equation to be parabolic. And then, of course, you still have to do all those a priori estimate, but the main frame is there. Okay? So that is. When do all the estimates, then one of the ingredients is very important. I want, how much time I have? 10? Okay, so in 10 minutes, I want you to describe one of the very simple, but basic thing about PDE for linear so-called maximum principle. Okay, so how can we say about that? Then I watch. Well, I want to put two things about maximum principle. Well, one thing here is in one dimension. Suppose now we have a function and phi is concave in the time in the interval AB, then we know then of course the minimum of phi on this interval will be attained on the boundary. Should attain that endpoint. Because that's clear from picture, because you have continuous function and you cannot have continuous function, you cannot have minimum attained inside. So if this x0 inside of I and I put inside of A and B, the minimum of this guy is equal to by x, then that means mass constant. You have no other choice. And that's the basic theory for electric PDE. That's a very simple. All the maximum principle coming from here. If we look at parabolic, that's also this one more phenomenon we want to add into there. So that's for the elliptic PDE. The maximum principle. And it's coming from here. So now the maximum principle for the parabolic is the following. Suppose now you have a function u is less than equal to 0. Suppose you know that the derivative of u satisfies certain kind of equation, say, satisfies equal to of some function of x depends on u, t depends on u, so one variable. Suppose we know this function ft at 0 is 0 any time. Suppose you start from u at 0 is larger than 0, then u will be positive all time. We will not touch 0. This is very simple also. This is one dimension, very simple. Why? Because you see, suppose now u is positive at 0. So suppose it touches 0 sometime, first time touches 0 of t0. So before t0 is positive, you pick any small interval here. Well, near that point, what you can say? Because ft can be here, so ft u can be written by alpha t and u and u, because f0, suppose f small enough, say. So now, more or less then, of course, you can put this of alpha t and u, then you have u. And that equal to log of u. Because this is smooth, the speed is finite, because we assume u is smooth enough. This u go to 0, this means this go to infinity, minus infinity. You cannot have something start from finite, whatever total small it is. With finite, speed finite can go to minus infinity, no way. Okay? Because that's a finite speed. And that's whatever you go small, you start it is finite, it's some kind of number. You cannot go to minus infinity in the finite time, because speed is finite. Okay? So with this, then you have the following maximum principle for parabolic equation. Combine those two together, very simple, one dimension. You have also have one dimension here. So that's the maximum principle, the following is the following. That's again something to do with the Harnack. Suppose now we have Fij is part, that means Fij of phi of ij plus of bk phi of k minus phi of t, that's then equal to c1 phi plus c2 gradient of phi. Maybe I should take this away, I don't need that. And phi is larger than equal to 0, you have then phi must be strictly larger than 0 unless phi identical 0. Even sometimes now we have x variable, t variable, x variable, x could be, you know, n variable. You start something maybe no negative, but at least as long as it's positive at one point, immediately jump to positive everywhere else. So that is kind of maximum principle, very important. Now, just a few words instead of writing things up. This is more or less the starting point for Hamilton development of Rich Pool. So Hamilton developed Rich Pool, he first proved so-called three-dimensional case. As long as Rich curvature is positive, then we'll the state positive evolve to the constant and space form. So that's everything you go back to the paper is maximum principle in that is. And in the recent development, and by Boehm and Wilkins, in high dimension case, they were able to more or less say that as long as you have start something, say, for the most simple case, is curvature operator is positive at the beginning, and then the flow, which flow eventually evolve to the space-time, space form. And more recently, it was by Brandel and Xiong, used a similar idea. So here, more or less, stay positive, actually you can improve. There is a pinching cone. So anytime you have something, instead of looking on functions, you're looking on the, say, matrix. So the eigenvalues of matrix will be pinching together, and pinching the smaller, pinching number getting, and the smaller, then eventually getting the space form. So that is so-called quarter pinching theorem. Quarter pinching theorem that is following. Suppose now you have a compact Riemannian manifold. If the second curvature at each point is pinched, you have, of course, there are too many sections at each point, is pinched by a quarter. So the maximum value of in one of the sector is over the minimum of one sector is strictly less than 4 at each of the point, then that might be differentiable to the standard sphere. So that was and that was used again, used curvature flow, ridge flow. So in any case, and you look back, there are things, many things you can say about ridge flow. In the geometry, you want to study geometric quantity, so you have a freedom to design PDE, because you are not supposed to fix one PDE. You design PDE so that the geometric quantity can evolve and can be getting better in some sense. And on the other hand, because many things may, the problem with the PDE may not be, you know, the solution is not guaranteed to be this. Sometimes you may develop singularity. And that will be a big challenge to study the behavior of the geometry near the time singularity develops. And that's all the paramount and the main contribution to study that and do surgery and so on. But in any case, so the development here still is going on. I think there is still a lot of problems and interesting things happening there, and there still deserve to be of more of attention there. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. The talk was about smooth flows, resulting in well-rounded objects, but I think the form of the talk was also very smoothly flowing and resulting in a well-rounded presentation, so thank you. Well, we had a couple of questions, but I guess we have time for one or two more.
Any chance of such brilliant insights into hyperbolic PDEs?
Yeah, that's a very good question. The question is the following here, that everything here is so-called maximum principle. That breaks down in general. Well, in hyperbolic, there are some other way to do that. And in the recent development, but a completely different culture, so you have strict at and estimate. So that's it's much more complicated than parabolic elliptic.